Chapter 15, thanks to Ferris for taking over. And it's always good to have a good fallback. Did he bring any rocks last week? Y'all don't remember. Okay, well, if you don't remember. But anyway, he did 14, so we're going to be in 15. 15 is an interesting chapter because it's a debate chapter. There was a big brouhaha in the church. You may have the idea that the First Century Church was just a wonderful, everybody would get along and everybody had things in common. Well, that's what started that way. But as people are people and people have different ideas about things, you remember the Grecian widows and the Hellenistic widows and how there was a problem with that and they didn't, the distribution of food. So things aren't always perfect, even in the church. So what do you do about it? Well, instead of getting mad and telling your best friend, sometime we just talk about the problem and discuss the problem. And with elders, you can tell the elders, I don't like this, I like that, or whatever. And we'll be happy to talk about it, and pray about it, and make changes if needed. But I think that's the way to do it. And so individual problems are church problems that you see. But they had a big problem with Pharisees again. There were some Pharisees who were converted. You remember the Pharisees, and Sadducees. Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. They were sad, you see, because they didn't. And Pharisees did. And Sadducees were more of a political group than they were a spiritual group. But there were Pharisees who were very strong. If you remember, they didn't like at all what Jesus was saying and doing and caused all kind of problems with him. But some were converted. Some believed and were baptized and converted. But they still couldn't get rid of their old doctrine. When you've been brought up in something, it's hard to get rid of it. You know what I'm talking about? A habit you may have. Stop that. It's hard to stop that. That's just the way we're brought up. And so they had this idea about circumcision. They're different between Jew and Gentile, circumcision. But yes, believe, repent, confess, be baptized, but be sure you're circumcised to go to heaven. We may have some doctrine like that. There was discussion. There was several people baptized on a mission trip. And a question was, well, what about their marriage relationship? Was it okay? You mean you got to believe, repent, confess, be baptized, and how many times you've been married? Is that the question? Is that in Acts? Well, the Pharisees had that question about circumcision. Let's just see what it says. Look at chapter 15, verse 1. Certain men came down from Judea, Jerusalem, and taught the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. You see, it's a salvation question, they thought. And the very fact they said that made it a false doctrine to start with. Everything that's taught that's not in agreement with us is not false doctrine. Okay? Can't think of anything right off the bat right now, but false doctrine is one thing. Not knowing what the answer is another. But look what they said. I tell you what, let's go to Galatians 4 and do that. Galatians chapter 2, because that's where they discuss this as well. Galatians chapter 2. Then after 14 years, this is chapter 2 of Galatians, I went again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me. This is Paul writing. I went up by revelation and communication to them that the gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to those who were reputation, lest by any means I might run or had run in vain. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. So Paul, it's interesting that God chose Paul to be the spokesman to the Gentiles. Now, I just showed you what we do and what God does is two different things. If I was choosing an apostle to go to the Gentiles, it would not have been Paul. Why not? Well, Paul was a Jew of Jews. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He was a Pharisee. He was the strictest in law. Nobody any stricter in law than Paul was. And if anybody knew the old law, Paul knew it. He had a PhD in old law. But God said, I'm going to send you to the Gentiles. Now, Peter had a lot of potentials as well, but Peter goes to the Jews, but Paul goes to the Gentiles. He'll talk about that in a minute. Let's read on. But this occasion, because of fault, verse 4, secretly brought in, who came by stealth, said, spied out the liberties that we've had in Christ Jesus. That's kind of implanted, by the way. To whom we do not yield submission even for 1 hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But from that, those who have seen to be something, whatever they were, it makes no difference to me. God shows personal favor to no man. For those whom seem to be something added nothing to me. You may have a PhD, you may have a TTD, you may have a DDD or whatever. It doesn't, we're all, Paul said, it didn't make any difference to me. I don't care what they said about themselves or others. It made no difference. But on the contrary, when they saw the gospel of the uncircumcised had been committed to me, as the gospel of the circumcised was to Peter, verse 7 just answers what I just said a while ago, by the way. This just tells us by the Spirit that who goes to whom. For who worked efficiently in Peter for his apostleship to the circumcised also worked efficiently and to me, the Gentiles. And when James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars of the church, perceived the grace that had been given to me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship that should go to the Gentiles and that they, Peter and the others, to the circumcised. They desired not only that we should remember the poor, but everything of which I had already eager to do. But when Peter had come to Antioch, Paul is at Antioch. By the way, Antioch is the missionary church. Jerusalem is really not. When persecution came in Acts 8, then they all were scattered abroad except the apostles. But the missionary church is Antioch. It's Antioch where Paul and Barnabas were sent out from. Anyway, when he had come to Antioch, withstood him to the face. Withstood who? Who did Paul withstand to the face? Peter. You remember, Peter had gone up and had heard great things about what's going on with Gentiles. So he went up there, and sure enough, they sat down for a barbecue supper. And, I don't know if it's barbecue or not. And Peter was eating with Gentiles, you know, no problem. Yeah, it's pretty good stuff. And a bunch of Jews came in from Jerusalem. What'd Peter do? Excuse me, I've got to leave this table. I can't sit at table number 1. I'm going to have to go back over here at table number 4 where the rest of my people are. And got up and left them. You might think, well, the apostles are above that. They're above any persecution by the church. But here's what actually happened. So Peter, when he had come to Antioch, withstood him to the face, Paul did, because he was to blame. For there were certain men came from James, who would eat with Gentiles, but when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing for those were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with this hypocrisy. Sometime when you mess up, it's okay to mess up. We all do that. Be careful you don't cause somebody else to mess up. Amen? Okay, when you mess up, be sure you don't cause somebody else to mess up. If you want to be lost, that's your business. But don't you take somebody with you. If you want to be ugly, I guess that's your business. But don't cause somebody else to be ugly just because you're ugly. When Peter got up, being a leader, others got up too and said, we can't eat with you. You see? We all have influence. We talked about this on the Sunday night sermon. But anyway, we all have influence. But be careful how your influence goes. If you do something wrong, there's somebody watching you, and they may do the wrong thing as well. So others got up and were carried away. And part of us gave him the right hand, they should go, okay, they desired that we should. Okay, but verse 11. But when Peter had come to Antioch, we stood him to the face. That means they were eyeball to eyeball. And Paul was telling Peter, you're wrong. You're wrong. Should Peter have known better than separate himself from eating with Gentiles? Should he have known better? Wasn't it Peter that had the occasion to meet with Cornelius, who was a Gentile, the first Gentile convert? Wasn't it Peter that said, God is no respecter of person? Wasn't it Peter said, who can forbid water, seeing that these receive the Spirit as we did in the beginning? I mean, if anybody should have known that people are just people, we all have souls, and God wants our soul, Peter should have known that. But he didn't. He didn't act that way. And Paul withstood him to the face. Sometimes you just got to get face to face, eyeball to eyeball with folks and say, that's just not right. I love you. You're my brother. You're my sister. But you can't do that. You can't act that way. You can't do that. But anyway, that's what happened there. Let's go back to Acts 15. Any question about Paul and Peter and their problem? Acts 15. So, let's go to verse 2 of chapter 15. Therefore, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dispute with them, there were some people. Okay, what the deal is? They were in Antioch, and these people from Jerusalem come up there, from Judea, and they say, guys, you got to be circumcised if you're going to be saved. And they were Jews. They were Pharisees. They believed that. They'd been taught that all their life. Like I said earlier, it's hard to change. And so there was no small dispute among those who were teaching that and what Peter and what Paul was doing and Barnabas. So, Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go to Jerusalem to apostles and elders about this question. We're talking probably 10, maybe no more than 20 years the church had been established. So it's fairly new. All the wrinkles had not wrinkled out. Where did the early church meet? 3,000 on the day of Pentecost, where did they meet? What church building would hold 3,000 members? I don't know. But they continued to meet someplace else. Where did they continue to meet on Saturday? Where did Paul go on Saturday? Synagogue. The synagogue, not the temple now, but the synagogue is more like what we do here. They had bleachers over here and bleachers over there, and somebody would open the scroll up and read it. And if anyone could comment on that, they would comment on that, or he could comment on that, or somebody could take a scripture. If you remember Jesus, didn't he do that in the synagogue? And just so happens that what this is writing about is about me. Remember that? Well, it's more like the church today than the temple was. Now, the temple was where they worshiped and animal sacrificed and burned incense and all that. But the temple was more of a teaching place. I mean, the tabernacle. Would you mind moving over here? No, stay where you are. Synagogue was more like what we do here, and that's teach and proclaim God's word. So you can see, and if you continue to read in the book of Acts, you see I was there on the Sabbath day. What's the Sabbath day? Saturday. And taught in the temple, taught in the synagogue. Well, I'm saying that. Taught in the synagogue. That was what they tried to do. And that continued on. The early church did not just disband everything that they had been, because that's where the religious people would be meeting. And so they would go to the synagogue where religious people are meeting, and talk to them, break to them the good news of Jesus, and they were converted, and so many were baptized because of that. Didn't have a church building like this. I know we get in our mind that, you know, they had, just like we do, and they had their sign out, you know, Jerusalem Church of Christ, please come, 10 o'clock. No, it wasn't that way. The worship that we do, hopefully, was the worship they did. But where they met and how they met, probably more group meetings, probably more house to house. Didn't they meet house to house? It says in Acts 2, they met house to house. So it's much different than what we do here. Not the teaching, but the method is. All right. That's verse 3 again. So being sent away by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, describing the conversion of the Gentiles, that they caused great joy to all the brethren. We ought to be rejoicing when we hear about conversions. Amen? I mean, you know, there it is on the screen. Well, isn't that wonderful? They're baptized. Big deal. It is a big deal. It's a life-changing deal. And when they told about the Gentile converts, there was great joy. When they came to Jerusalem, they received by the church the apostles and the elders. And they reported all the things God had done with them. But some of the sect of Pharisees who believed rose up saying, it is necessary to circumcise them and command them to keep the law of Moses. Can you see why they would say that? I mean, it's wrong, but can you see why they would say that? I've been taught that all my life. I was going to say a while ago that when we change from one thought to another, you've been taught that all your life, it's hard. It's hard. Sometimes you kind of fall back on the old ways. They'd always taught that. Circumcision is essential if you want to be a Jew. And the old law is essential if you want to be a Jew. We're not Jews anymore. We're Christians. Yeah, but our background is Judaism. Our background is where, and it's hard to forget your background. That's why I was saying a while ago about Paul. I mean, of all people to choose to go to the Gentiles, Paul, what's his background? Judaism. What did he learn all of his life? Judaism. And send him to the Gentile. So if a man who spent his life in Judaism can convert and become a Christian, you see, so can those people he taught convert and become a Christian. So there was that problem. Verse 6, so the apostles and elders came together to consider this matter. Again, it's a problem in the church. Let's get together. Let's talk about it. Let's don't get mad. Let's don't quit and go to church B. Let's just talk about this and see where we are with this. I'm going to say that. Okay. And when they had been much dispute, Peter rose up and said to them, men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God chose among us that the mouth of the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. That's Acts 2 and Acts 10. So God, who knows the heart, acknowledge them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did us. Who's he talking about? Who's Peter talking about? Have I lost you? Cornelius, right? He's talking about Cornelius and his family. And I told you before, that's the first family and friends day, you know, with Cornelius and his household in Acts 10. So you remember that, don't you? You know how that meant. So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did us. How did the Lord give the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost? Directly? Okay. Tongues of fire? Okay. Set upon each of them. They began to speak in other languages, never studied before. And all kind of things went on in Acts 2. He promised that in Luke 24. He promised that in Acts 1, that the Spirit would come and guide them into all truth. So I've got to leave so the Comforter will come. And that was the Holy Spirit. And it made no distinction between us and them, Jews and Gentiles, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why do you test God? Isn't that interesting? By putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear. What's the yoke? The law of Moses. Yes, the law of Moses. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. How are you saved? Paul said you're saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast, right? We're saved by the grace of God. Every one of us. Can't be good enough, sweet enough, you know. As sweet as you are, and as nice as you are, and as good looking as you are, that don't save you. It's the blood of Jesus saves you. And the blood of Jesus is the grace of God. That's the grace of God. We're saved by grace through faith. Then all the multitude kept silent and listened to Barnabas and Paul, declaring the many miracles and wonders God had worked through them among the Gentiles. That would shut them up, wouldn't it? Let me tell you what God has done. Let me tell you what God did at Patmos and Iconium and Lystra and Derbe. Let me tell you what God's done. But after they had become silent, James answering, saying, "Men and brethren, listen to me. Simon has declared how God, at the first visit of Gentiles, to take out them a people of his name. And with this, the word of the prophets agree, just as written, after this, I'll return and rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I'll rebuild its ruins. I will set it up so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord. Even all the Gentiles who call my name, saying the Lord who does all these things. Known to God from eternity are all his works." Did the Lord rebuild the temple? No. Did the Lord rebuild the kingdom? Yes. Are you a part of that kingdom? Yes or yes? Is the kingdom the church? Yes or yes? On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it, and I give to you the keys to the kingdom. And so whatever you bind on earth, be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, be loose in heaven. There's the word church and kingdom used together. The church is the kingdom of God, and that's what Jesus came to establish. Therefore, I judge that we should not trouble those who among the Gentiles who are turning to God, but that we write to them to abstain from the things polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from things strangled, and from blood. So here are three or four things that I do want you to keep in mind. Number one, don't eat meat sacrificed to idols. Will there be a problem with that later? Yes or yes? Yeah, Paul has to write a whole chapter on that, you know, about you can't eat meat that's sacrificed to an idol. Does that change the meat? No or no? But it might cause a weak brother to stumble, and therefore, if eating meat causes my brother to stumble, I will be a what? Vegetarian. Okay. Glad that's not, well, I like meat. But, Sam, if that causes Jeanette to stumble, you better quit my last hamburger. Now, you and I know that meat's meat, and an idol is nothing, right? I mean, you can pray to an idol all you want to, but nothing's going to happen other than just waste of time. And so offering sacrifice to an idol, nothing to nothing. It doesn't change it. But to a weak brother or sister, it might change. I was in Thailand. They had all these little looked like doll houses. They were spirit houses. And in those spirit houses lived these gods. And they had the shingles shaped so when they had a thing here, so the spirit, an evil spirit would hit it and it would jump off or fly off. And they brought food every day. Everybody bring food for this idol. And when I looked at it, I saw birds eating the food. I said, are you feeding the birds? Oh, no, no, no. That's for the spirits. I said, look like the birds are eating it to me. Oh, the spirits have already got the nutrition out. And they're just eating leftover. Well, whatever. You can pray all day to an idol and you'll get nothing for it. Wasn't in there a story about that where they prayed and prayed and jumped up and down and even cut themselves? You remember that story? And asking for fire to be sent down, and they did that all day long and nothing happened. So the prophet of God said, listen, let me try. Bring some water, pour it on the sacrifice. Make a ditch here. Fill that ditch up with water, a moat. And he prayed to God, and what did God send? He sent fire down that not only destroyed the sacrifice, burned the sacrifice, burnt the rocks, lapped up the water. There was no doubt because had asked God, the powerful God that we serve. Well, so, but some may think it has something. Some may think it's wrong. And we're to be careful about our example. And even though nothing wrong with it, got to be careful what we do. So the letter said, and I always call this the first New Testament letter the church wrote about these things to be sent out. Because they're going to send this letter out that others may hear about it and do the right thing as well. Let's see if I got everything on there I wanted to say. Let's go back to verse 23. They wrote the letter by them, the apostles, the elders, and the brethren, to the brethren who are in the Gentiles among Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. Greetings. Since we have heard that some who went out from us have troubled you with words of us, would be the church in Jerusalem, by the way, unsettling your soul, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom you gave no such commandment at all. To see some to us being assembled with one accord, we're together on this, to send chosen men to you who are beloved, Barnabas and Paul, who you know, men who have risked their lives for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have therefore sent Judas and Silas also, who report the same thing by the word of mouth. For it seems good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than you know necessary. That we abstain from things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourself from these things, you do well. That's the letter they wrote. Things strangled. Why would you want to abstain from things strangled? Because the blood's there. Right. I remember Mama taking a chicken on Sunday after church. Should I tell you what she did with it? If you pop it just right. Well, that chicken kept running around too, scared me to death. But anyway, things strangled, sexual immorality, and to abstain from things offered to idols, meat offered to idols. Now again, Paul will outline that longer or further in Corinthians, but we'll get to that when we get to that. Okay, verse 30. Any questions about, have I gone around too far? Have you following what I'm saying? What's happening here? So when they sent them off, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the letter. When they had read it all, they rejoiced over its encouragement. Letters have a place, even today. I received a letter today in the mail, and It's one of those keepers. One of those keepers. This was the keeper. This encouraged the church there. Now, Judas and Silas themselves, being prophets, also exhorted the brethren with many words and strengthened them. And that they had stayed there for a time, they sent them back with the greetings from the brethren and to the apostles. However, it seemed good to Silas to remain there. That's not in all the text. Paul and Barnabas also remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others. Let's finish the chapter for a close. And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us now go back and visit our brethren in the cities where when we preach the word of the Lord and see how they're doing." So they're going to make a return visit, see how the church is growing at each stop they made. That's the first missionary journey, which is chapter 13, by the way. Now, Barnabas had determined to take with him John, who's called Mark. What happened to John Mark on the first journey? Yeah, don't know why. I mean, it may have been too much for him. It may have been, I just can't handle this. But whatever it was, Paul did not like that. Anyway, Paul insisted that they should not take it with him. But on the departure from Pamphylia, and he had not gone to them to the work. And then the contention became so sharp, this is Paul and Barnabas now, that they parted one another, and so Barnabas took who? Mark, and sailed to Cyprus, and Paul took Silas and departed, being commanded by the brethren and the grace of God, and they went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. It was a problem with Paul about taking John Mark. Later on, John Mark will become a brother again, okay? But right now, I'm upset with Paul, with John Mark. But notice, Barnabas, the encourager, didn't stop, didn't give over to Paul. He said, "John Mark's a good guy. I'll take him and go to Cyprus." That was their first stop. So Paul took Silas and went back to those churches he had visited before. You see how that a problem turned into a blessing? In Acts 8, when the persecution comes, they were scattered abroad and went everywhere. What's the word? Preaching the gospel, except the apostles. Well, the persecution was terrible, but the result of it was great because the gospel was being spread to the whole area at that time. God takes a bad situation, and if you allow him, he can turn it into a blessing every time. Okay, our time's gone, so let's have a closing prayer. Father God, thank you for loving us and blessing us. Thank you for these men of old. Thank you for their wisdom through you. Bless us, Father, as we continue our study. We pray in Jesus' name, and amen. Thank you for coming. Glad to have you tonight.